Hi, this is David Marlette, and this is another episode of Cinemersia here on Creative Disturbance. And I am joined by not one, but two guests, Aaron Toman and Nancy Bennett from 2-Bit Circus. And we're going to talk a little bit about what they're up to and in this VR space. So welcome, Aaron and Nancy.
Thank you, David.
Good to be here.
And first, just tell me a little bit about each of you. You know, kind of introduce yourself a little bit, and tell us a little bit more about what kind of trouble you guys are getting into over at 2-Bit Circus.
Well, I'm Nancy Bennett. I'm Chief Content Officer for 2-Bit Circus, and 2-Bit Circus is a band of inventors, roboticists, developers, fabricators, designers, coders, filmmakers, who play in the space of technology and entertainment, making very interactive social, physical engagements that ignite inspiration and fun.
And in working in one of the coolest offices, what'd you tell me that place? It's there.
We call it the Big Top.
Yeah, and it's that's a good name for it. But it used to be, what was it? It used to be
the former Edison power plant for Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah.
It's like Valhalla. It's a very large open space, 7 stories high, 150 feet across, with an open machine space with routers and 3D printers and laser cutters and all sorts of fun gear gadget goodness.
Right. Well, that's great. Okay, so you guys are I know, doing a couple things. Aaron, tell us a little bit, before we get into the details on that, tell me a little bit about you and what you're doing there.
My name is Aaron Toman, and I am the lead engineer for the 2-Bit Circus VR department, and I am pretty much responsible for the stitching of the video and the 360 video, and I do a lot of development of the design, fabrication, development of the motion platforms that we like to integrate into our VR experiences.
Yeah. You know, jumping off from what you just said, it's something that I know we're working on right now with Manslaughter, you know, this film we're working on, is that stitching. And what are you seeing? Is there a standard out there yet? Are you guys kind of creating your own hacked version, or is there something that you like when it comes to this stitching process as far as software is concerned?
I'll let Aaron speak to what we're doing, but I wouldn't say there's a standard out there yet. I think everyone is working towards a standard. I think the only standard we can uphold is really quality stitching with very little seam and parallax distortion. Aaron?
Yeah, that's parallax distortion is one of the words that, or the phrases that keeps getting repeated in this whole, in the VR industry for the 360 videos, and it's definitely the hardest thing to overcome. And as cameras get smaller, it gets easier, but it's still something that is going to be a barrier unless new technology is developed. So a lot of the software out there is kind of makes it difficult if subjects come in too close to the cameras right at the seams. So we've had to develop our own stitching software that gives us more flexibility when that happens.
Well, after this, or in the weeks to come, we may want to visit with you guys relative to what we're planning for Manslaughter on that. But because that does seem to be obviously I understand that's a big concern. And for the listeners who aren't familiar, can you tell me a little bit more about that parallax distortion? I mean, that has a fair amount to do with some of the VR sickness as well, right? Or does it? Or is that just latency?
The VR sickness is usually more to do with latency and also issues with movements. Like if the camera is moved, but your body doesn't feel a corresponding motion, the inner ear kind of is always monitoring the physical world versus what it's like. What it's seeing versus what it's experiencing, those need to be kind of congruent with each other. Otherwise, you experience sickness. So when you put in a motion platform like we do, it tends to alleviate a lot of that motion sickness that comes along with the VR.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, the parallax distortion. Yeah. Okay. That's more just the visual quality.
And the parallax distortion. That comes from when you normally when you do panoramas, you want to rotate the lens at about a fixed point, so that. But when you have a bunch of video cameras, an array of video cameras, that's really impossible to have this one fixed point right at the center of those where all the video is coming from. So there's all kinds of tricks and stuff that we've developed to try to overcome that issue.
Well, yeah, and that just having the quality of where those comes together. You know, what we're doing is a white band, whiteness, putting these scenes in a space. But not to talk about manslaughter here. But yeah, it's been I'm tracking with you. That's been an issue. We're hoping to do a trick in just how we're doing the filming to help overcome some of that.
That's kind of one issue. Is it ends up limiting what you can actually shoot, and that's disappointing, you know, because you want to be able to do, you know, whatever your creative inspiration is for the shoot, but
right.
At the same time, like, you know, so it's definitely an obstacle that we want to overcome so that we're not limited in the filming of everything.
Right. Now, you guys installation pieces somewhat. I mean, you're doing experiences, physical experiences also. I mean, in other words, with the indie and I mean, some other things that I don't know what all you guys can talk about, but
happy to speak to that. We've been shooting what I'd like to refer to as live action, moving the camera, editing, ramping, using various frame rates and other cinematic techniques to tell an emotionally immersive and not alienating story. And we've done that for sports brands primarily thus far, though we are also doing our own original content. And the activations that we've been doing can be experienced without motion platforms, but most of them have been built with. The stuff that is regularly available inside Milk VR on Samsung Gear VR is for the NBA. We shot material on court with 6 superstar NBA players from the point of view of those players as they do their workouts and work the routines that are standard to basketball, from the pick and roll to slam dunks and doing around the world elbow to elbow three shots. And so that's the stuff that's primarily been seen of what we've done. However, we've also built an incredible experience for NFL Super Bowl that we did with Wasserman Media Experience Group for Verizon, which was an activation that took place in their footprint at the Super Bowl over a week leading up to the Super Bowl that shows the vantage point of a punt return. So you are actually in the eyes of the punt returner going through the tunnel onto the Cardinals Stadium field in the special ops team being called to action to catch the punt return and then waiting for that punt return and rushing down the field for a touchdown with oncoming players.
That's great.
And that's a pretty fantastic experience, and we're hoping that Verizon will be installing that not only in Milk VR, but certainly across their flagship locations, which I'm told is imminent. We also did an IndyCar experience for Verizon that is a 3D 360 motion platform experience at its most optimum distribution and display. And that motion platform is a replica of the Verizon number 12 car, including a wonderful sound design, surround sound of the Chevy engines of that car and the whole race vibe, which took place in one lap of the Long Beach Grand Prix. And that motion chair has actuators and actuations and haptics that allow you to feel the rumble of the road and the turn of the car.
And having done that one, I can say that one's very, very cool.
Thank you.
And you're using the fan in the front for the wind, relative to acceleration and that sort of thing. I thought this was terrific. Absolutely terrific.
Well, thank you. Well, and all those experiences can be experienced without the motion platform, and we've had a lot of people go through those and not have any motion issues. But they're really pretty great with the motion added. It just gives another sensory perception element to the spatial immersion that you receive.
Well, let's talk a little bit about where you guys see you know, let's talk about the, you know, what's over the next hill, and let's talk two hills over, you know, just kind of in this space. I'm just curious where you guys see, let's call a year from now the first hill and maybe 2 years the second hill. I'm just curious as to kind of where you guys see this progressing. Is there an area that you guys are comfortable talking about relative to y'all's plans?
Sure. You know, I think if any of us take a look at the industry right now, we can see that there's huge enthusiasm for VR. There's a lot of investment. There's a lot of momentum. It's one of the fastest moving new technologies I've ever seen in the entertainment space. I'm sure that's true for you guys too. And what's interesting about that is that those who have seen VR and its excellence are really the small percentage of the population. So from my vantage point, I see a delta between the sort of elite VR viewers and the consumers. And I think it's very important that we all work to get consumers into the experiences. Cardboard is certainly a wonderful, ubiquitous, and accessible option. And one hopes that the experiences you see in Cardboard aren't interpreted by consumers as just a little, you know, snap-on viewer, that you really get what is so spectacular and transporting when you get into those experiences. And so I think that the reach to consumer needs to be a gap filled there. And I think that content creators are always moving the needle with experiment and innovation and engagement. And they will do some of the lift to make that gap disappear. And of course, also in the industry, with those who own the technology, putting forth Facebook streaming so that people can have 360 streams in a social environment should uptick the consumer buy-in a bit, one would hope. And Gear VR has done incredible stuff to drive along awareness and make an accessible, really high-end experience. Certainly, PlayStation Morpheus is coming out. You've got Valve's Vive player. You know, there's all sorts of wonderful stuff happening. But how is the consumer going to experience the best of what VR has to offer as it grows? And so there are a lot of questions there.
Yeah.
For on our side, and what we've been doing is we've been doing our best to push the envelope in terms of demonstrating what's possible to create on the content side. How do we help to forge the language of great cinema making in the VR space?
Yeah.
And a lot of that is thinking about things that we all know from making movies over time. You know, it's great to move the camera. You want to make sure that you're focusing the subject on what it is that they should be seeing in a story to evoke emotion and engagement, to be, you know, curious about outcome and plot and character development. You know, if you're not advancing action or plot, you're not doing anything.
Right.
So locking off the camera just to capture stuff statically is really not that exciting to us, and we want to push that a lot. You know, I think it's about coming to a common language of how to go about creating for VR and thinking through it as a filmmaker, and also managing that conversation with the businesses that you work with. It's difficult to explain the nonlinear feelings that you can get inside a 360 space. So some of the ways we've worked around that is we built technology that streams the content directly from the camera and automatically stitches it for pre-visualization in Oculus while we're on set, because there is no behind the camera.
Right.
And it's very important for us to see what's taking place. So we've built tools that allow us to do that. We've built tools that allow us to instantly stitch and do a rough assembly of what it is we want to see. We're certainly implementing color correction and some of the more traditional cinematic post-production techniques that make for a great experience. And that does not leave out sound design ever.
Right, totally.
So all those things are really interesting to us. And while we do that, we're learning what technology is advancing on the HMD side, on the head-mounted display side, and how streaming is working, and what cameras are in play, and so forth. We're building our own cameras because we have to, because to manage parallax in the stitching environment, you need to be able to control how.
Oh, I didn't realize you guys were doing that as well. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and whether we move into releasing those things as a public consumable or not, is up to time and experience. I think there are a lot of people who are doing exactly the same thing. I'm told that all the wonderful purveyors out there who are really making blazing trails, from Felix and Paul to Chris Milk to Annapurna to, you know, Noni de la Pena, are all trying to make their own tools to make great content. Right. So there's great momentum there. So the next 18 months are going to be critical. And, and so it's hard to say what we're going to do ultimately in this space, but we are certainly in the conversation and examining every option.
Yeah.
How's that?
Yeah, that's pretty comprehensive. Aaron, do you just have an amen to all that, or do you have
that pretty much covers most of it. I think the one thing that I would say is that's going to be interesting to see is right now VR is somewhat isolating. It's, you know, you put this thing on your face and then you're in your own world,
right,
and other people aren't part of that world. And I think that over the next year especially, we're going to see that change, where people are going to be able to kind of share experiences instead of it being isolating. Hopefully it'll help to bring people together. I would like to, you know, for example, visit my parents who live out of the country and just, you know, sit in the living room with them and have a nice chat, you know, face to face in a sense. And I think that that's going to be one of the other exciting things that's going to happen, in addition to the, to, of course, the cinematographic stuff that's going on.
Yeah, when the parents are starting to adopt it, we know it's adopted.
Exactly.
Well, you know, that's really interesting, because I've had my mom, who's 84 years old, look at a lot of the material that we've been making, and she will not take the headset off. And she's been a lifelong teacher. She's, you know, an educator, and she thinks that it is one of the most amazing forms for potential education, of a huge, you know, advantage. And
absolutely.
So that'll be a very exciting space as well. And and hopefully we'll get all ages. I don't think there's a demo that can be left out of this potential medium.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. And that's just the most, you know, that's just this exciting thing about all this. I know it is for you, and it certainly is for me. And well, this has been good. Our time has unfortunately come that we may just have to do this again. I really appreciate you guys spending some time with me today and sharing your thoughts on this.
Absolute pleasure, David. Thank you for the opportunity.
Well,
yes,
and you guys are at, is it tubitcircus.com? I've been there so many times.
Tubitcircus.com.
Okay, yeah, it's y'all's site. Listen, Aaron, Nancy, thank you very much for your time today, and we'll be talking again.
Very good. Thank you, David.
Thank you.